The Lord is so aggressive, watch. He's so serious about the nature of sin not hurting you. He says, whatever sins you are doing willfully, he said, cut it out. Some of you don't think that's important, but man, a lot of us is going to end up back in Matthew chapter 7 when he says, man, you, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did I not serve on a worship team? And did I not go to church every week? And did I not fill up a journal? And he's going to say, depart from me.
Did I not cut my hand off? Did I not pluck my eye out? Did I not look at the severity of my pornographic addiction or my lust? Works. What does he say? He skips the part where it says you didn't do the will of the Father. That's in the beginning of Matthew 7:21. The will of the Father is to believe him who sent me. I and my Father are one. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're saying that what Jesus did as the Son of God, that payment for sin, he shed his blood, was for you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And today we are reacting to a clip that has been sent to me a couple of times. And this is an interesting react. We're going to put this into two parts. I have a separate email where someone asked a question that is very similar to what this video is addressing, this react video. But first, I want to make sure that you subscribe, make sure you hit the like button, comment. We now have a live show every Sunday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are very excited about it. We post the replays on Tuesdays here. So make sure you hit the notification bell and set it to all. So every time that we post something, you get a heads up first. And then support that content. We greatly appreciate it. But I was sent this video, and just so y'all know, this is not my full-time job as far as like reacting to videos. So I tried to find who this guy was. I could not find it. There's no doubt the man has passion. He's got desire. I really think he wants people to see what Jesus is speaking about in Matthew 5 and in other places like Matthew 18. But the problem is he misses that Jesus is speaking in hyperbole. And as a result of that, he builds a false doctrine around how to get to heaven. So we're going to take a look at this. We're going to dissect it. And I'm going to talk with you here about it and just to give you encouragement about it. First thing is there's a lot of channels like this, not our channel here, but the channel you're going to look at. This is a Facebook account. It's called Cuts of Faith. I have not. It's actually an Instagram account. I just saw a little Instagram logo. And the tagline or the description of the video says, be encouraged. Jesus loves you deeply and is ready for a relationship with you. He's waiting to fill your life with peace, purpose, and endless joy. Open the door to love, faith, and unbreakable connection. And then it has the shooting star emoji, and it says, hashtag faith over fear, hashtag walk with God, hashtag eternal love. I'm not trying to be funny, but I can't really tell if somebody wrote this or if ChatGPT spit this out. And then the reason why I say that is it's just completely unrelated to the content of the video. The content of the video is heavy, it is dark, it is fearful, it's serious. You know, he's making a serious point, but he makes serious mistakes along the way. So let's let the video speak for itself. It's a short clip. It's one of those vertical, you know, reel type videos. So
he said, it is better for you to go to heaven, watch, lamed, than to go to hell with the sin you won't let go. Said, Pastor, I don't get it. It's better for you to suffer the pain of discipline to say no than for you to end up in hell because you can't let go of that sin.
So right off the bat, you know, he's speaking from Matthew chapter 5. And this is where Jesus is addressing the entire nation and disciples that are focusing there. He's on the topic of lust. He says in Matthew 5:27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He's setting a principle here. He's saying, you have heard that you're not supposed to go out and commit adultery. And everyone hears that and says, yeah, that's, I should not physically go out and physically lay with someone who is not my spouse. Understood, Jesus, we got it. But he also now qualifies the heart issue. He qualifies what's going on here. if you look on a woman with lust, then you have committed adultery in the eyes of the Lord. What does this do? This deepens the standard. The standard is not now just physical obedience. It's what's going on up here in your mind. And very few people want to address this. I know a lot of Calvinist teachers, Lordship Salvation teachers, even this guy that we're listening to here today, it's like this idea of like, well, if you stay physically good, if like the outward appearance is good, then, you know, we'll all have proof of our salvation. Everything will be okay. But you are condemned as a sinner. If you have had one lustful thought of anybody, that is enough to condemn you. You're a sinner. This is what Jesus is teaching. Then he goes into hyperbole here. He set the example of just the thought alone can make you a sinner. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Now, if we were to take that in a literal sense, then every single person would have only a left eye in their head right now. If I wanted to make sure I was going to heaven, I would take this eye out. I wouldn't focus on eliminating sin in my life because I'm going to sin, and so are you, and so is this gentleman who's teaching in this video, the video we're watching. So you might as well just take it out of your skull right now. This is not what he is saying. He's painting an illustration. He's talking about the seriousness of sin and how serious it is, but this is not a qualifier to get into heaven. Like this pastor said, better to be lame and then go into heaven than be fully functioning and going into hell. That's not what is being said here. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. Again, you would have anybody who desired to go to heaven because of the offense that can be committed with the hand, you might as well just have just your left hand. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I'm going to read from a commentary here because I think it gives you a good example of what is being said, but we have to also qualify before we get to the commentary. If a person could get to heaven by plucking out their right eye and cutting off their right hand about the severity of their sin, then that would be stated in Scripture that someone could earn their eternal life based off of maiming their body. And just so you are reminded, because this is what a lot of videos like this miss, they got all the swelling music, they got the really weird tags, they got the really out-of-touch description, but that's all they focus on. And I would assume this is clipped from a longer sermon, but I can't find it. It's not credited. So someone's just, you know, scrolling through and they're struggling with pornography, they're struggling with lust, they're trying to find the truth, but they haven't trusted in Christ for the payment of their sin. They find a video like this, and all of a sudden, they are wrapping a noose around their neck. They're going to think it's enough for them to just quit watching pornography to get to heaven. They're going to think it's enough to clean up their thought life to get the dirt out of their mental eye, and that'll be enough to get to heaven. When the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, that this right here in verse 10, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. You can't change enough, reform yourself enough to be accepted by God. And this pastor's teaching is essentially saying, get rid of the sin in your life so you don't go to hell. That would mean that you could get rid of all your sin, meet the law perfectly to get to heaven. See, it all falls apart when we start looking at the whole tree and not just one little piece of the fruit. They create this fruit salad type thing, and you get to a point where you're like, that's not going to fly with the rest of Scripture. It is evident, Galatians 3:11 says, the just shall live, I believe that's talking about life eternal, by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why did he do that? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, eternal life, the inheritance in Christ, get this, through faith, not through cutting off the hand or plucking out the eye. That's not what Jesus is teaching. It's a hyperbolic statement to teach the severity of sin. Now, watch. Watch as this rapidly, you know, just completely melts down into a works-based gospel.
See, too many of you think, man, once saved, always saved. And I prayed a prayer, and I asked Jesus into my heart.
So this is also the biggest straw man around the once saved, always saved biblical doctrine, that we think a person can pray a prayer and ask Jesus to physically reside in their heart and then have no life changes to get to heaven. A person who thinks that is the once saved, always saved doctrine is a person who does not know what the Bible teaches. First of all, there is no evidence in the Old Testament or the New Testament which says asking Jesus into your heart is an acceptable way to get to heaven. None of it. As a matter of fact, the word that is used the most to describe how a person is saved, how a person has eternal life, is the word believe. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's 1 John 5:13. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Acts 13:38-39. You believe on Jesus Christ, you're justified from all things, with which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So anyone who goes to the clear gospel and says, well, you think you can just say a prayer and you know, get saved and live like you please. No, that's what you say. And I get a little frustrated when, you know, his body language is very aggressive, man. It's like you're describing people that don't exist. You're describing a part of once saved, always saved that is never said. I've yet to see anybody who believes what the Bible says about salvation say you have to utter a prayer of salvation. Now, I'm not denying those people are out there. But as far as what is mainstream represented for free grace and for once saved, always saved, that's hardly ever used. It's the biggest straw man. And I paused it intentionally because here's the most straw in that straw man. You ready?
And then I live however I want during the week. No.
Yeah, they would look at me and say that I advocate, that I publicly recommend, and that I privately counsel people to live in sin. Just do whatever you want because you're saved. I don't teach that. As a matter of fact, I would take Matthew 5:27-30 and teach it to people in counseling sessions. I've taught it to people in church that sin has consequences. And just because you are eternally secured in Christ doesn't mean that sin does not have real, serious, and lasting consequences in this life here. Moses is a perfect example. Moses missed out on entrance into the promised land because he disobeyed the Lord. He's a saved man, but he had consequences for his sin. King David, a man after God's own heart, slept with a woman who was not his wife. The baby that was a result of that union died. He had Uriah killed. David was not a good man for a long portion of his life. His oldest son, Absalom, led a rebellion against the kingdom, and then he swung from a tree by a noose created of his own hair. David, still a saved man, severe consequences. How about Solomon? How about Solomon? We have him in 1 Samuel talking about, Lord, I don't know, you know, or maybe it's 1 Kings. I don't know how to go in or go out. Give me wisdom and discernment. And God says, I'm going to give you that and more. And then his heart was turned away by all the women in his life. He took down the altars of Jehovah and built up sex groves, orgy worship stations for false gods. Saved man, serious consequences. So I don't know what this guy's talking about. And if I had a chance to talk to him one-on-one, I'd ask him, where do you hear that from? Give me some citations of where you're hearing that from. But anyway, let's see how this continues to just dissolve.
The scripture says, whoever endures to the end.
That's the one.
will be saved.
So this is interesting, right? Whoever endures to the end will be saved. Where is that found in Scripture? It's found in Matthew 24, and it has nothing to do with eternal life. It has to do with the end of the tribulation period, that whosoever physically endures, whosoever physically remains close to the Lord and is able to avoid all of the, I mean, you read Revelation with the seals and the vials and the bowls and the trumpets. If you physically endure in the end, you will be saved. How? Not saved spiritually into eternal life. You'll be saved physically when the Lord comes back, and you'll be at the judgment of the sheep and the goats. And if you're one who has put their faith in Christ, you'll be a sheep. And if you're one who's denied Christ and has allegiance with the Antichrist, you'll be a goat, and it'll be over for you. But see how he just took that? We went from Matthew 5 and we just jumped over to Matthew 24 and quoted a line, and notice the crowd. Yes, yes. That I have to believe that that gives him the strength and motivation to continue.
The Lord is so aggressive, watch. He's so serious about the nature of sin not hurting you. He says, whatever sins you are doing willfully, he said, cut it out. Some of you don't think that's important, but man, a lot of us is going to end up back in Matthew chapter.
Okay, that one part of what he said, I agree. That is exactly what God is trying. That is exactly what Jesus is teaching in Matthew 5, the severity of sin. Absolutely. But this man is wrong to tie it to eternal life. Because if I could make my sin so severe that I stopped doing it, then I would have to attain righteousness of my own works. I would have to be the one who would boast. As Ephesians 2:9 says, no man will boast. So, see, I can say that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone because the Scripture supports it, and I can also say that sin is severe and has consequences and you shouldn't do it because the Scripture teaches that as well. They look at it as one of two ways. Now he goes back. We've gone from Matthew 5 to Matthew 24. Now he draws to Matthew 7, and where do you think he's going to be?
Chapter 7, when he says, man, you, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did
Works.
I not serve on a worship team?
Works.
And did I not go to church every week?
Works.
And did I not fill up a journal?
Works.
And he's going to say, depart from me.
Did I not cut my hand off? Did I not pluck my eye out? Did I not look at the severity of my pornographic addiction or my lust? Works. What does he say? He skips the part where he says, you didn't do the will of the Father. That's in the beginning of Matthew 7:21. The will of the Father is to believe him who sent me. I and my Father are one. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're saying that what Jesus did as the Son of God, that payment for sin, he shed his blood, was for you. That's why all those works are listed in Matthew 7. They do not have anything to do with your redemption. You need the shed blood of Christ. He conflates that.
Watch, hand and foot, you worker of iniquity, you keep practicing sin. He says, depart from me, I never knew you.
See, so here's my genuine prayer for this man, that he changes his mind. Because I'm going to tell you what, he's a good speaker. He has all the charisma. Looks like he has an audience that's willing to listen to him. But he's not speaking the truth. And I can't imagine how it would be for him at the great white throne judgment if he has not put his trust in Jesus Christ to give an account for those words. See, I take what I do here seriously. I want to make sure that what I say has first been said by the Word of God. And I think this man knows parts of the Scripture, but he doesn't understand the context of the Scripture. And listen, if you see this kind of stuff, you got to mark it and avoid it. Don't let the theatrics of it, the fact that it's well edited, that it's black and white, that it's got the swelling music, don't let that bite you. You know, it will bite you. Because all of this sounds like, it sounds good, but if you actually go put that into practice, it's like, all right, how should I accomplish what he's saying? I have to go work. I have to go work. I have to trust that my abstaining from sin is going to be rewarded with going to heaven. And that's just wrong. We'll tag our Matthew 7 video. We even wrote an article about it too in the description. I think that'll be encouraging for you. And next week, we'll look at an email that asks a similar question along this line. And I think that's good, so you can see how both these things connect. If you've yet to put your trust in Jesus Christ, do it right now. Don't wait. Salvation is a free gift that is simply received by faith in Jesus Christ. Your sin separates you from God. Jesus has paid for all of that sin. The only thing left now is, will you believe that he, as the Son of God, made that sacrifice, shed his blood, was buried and rose again to pay for your sin? The moment that you do, which might have happened right now, that blood of Christ has applied to your sin debt and you are now forgiven forever. And there's nothing that could ever separate you from what God has declared in your justification. Make sure you like the video, comment, share, subscribe. Keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Thank you. God bless you, and I'll talk with you real soon. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.